It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Coffin, my guest in studio, Mike Fouché from the Daily Line. Good to see you. It's a Thursday instead of a Wednesday, but we're glad you're here anyway.
Hey, man, it's good to be here.
The Daily Line,
anything
of course.
For you,
anything,
JK.
Anything
for you, JK.
The Daily Line, of course, the news site that covers all things Illinois politics. So let's start today. I mean, we've been talking about police on this program for a while. We've been talking about the Department of Justice report that came out in Baltimore that will be out in Chicago soon. But let's
a year.
But let's talk about what's happening on the ground. Seven officers. Looks like Superintendent Eddie Johnson's going to move on firing seven officers.
He's already said that he will, and that he's moving through the process to do it, and that the Chicago Inspector General actually recommended that up to 10 people be fired. Two people have retired, and Eddie Johnson has said, well, one of them he doesn't think deserves to be fired. And one of the people that he's going to fire is the partner of the shooter. And, you know, so there's a whole series of people that are going to get the axe. And this is because the police department has a thing called Rule 14, which is essentially if you lie in under any circumstances,
right,
you could be fired. The police department has never really enforced that. And so now all of a sudden, Eddie Johnson is enforcing it. He had said when he first became superintendent a number of months ago, if somebody lies on the job, if they're doing something bad, I'm not going to tolerate it and we're going to get rid of them. You know, that's been a lot of talk for a long time. So it's kind of interesting to see it actually happen.
Do we consider this a shift in the way that the police department operates? I mean, is Eddie Johnson bringing a new sort of transparency to the role?
Well, you know, what's also interesting is that there is a whole slate of new command staff that he's brought in. So he's basically swept out everybody that had anything to do with Gary McCarthy and is completely gone. You know, so here's the thing. You know, 1 point is an idea, 2 points is a line, 3 points is a trend. So we're not necessarily at a trend yet.
Right.
And so I think that it's going to happen a number of times before we're actually going to see something really significant.
The other thing this week that was interesting politically was, you know, the press really pushed on Mayor Emanuel when the IG report came out saying, what do you think about these? Are you going to fire these? Are you going to push the superintendent to fire these people? And he came out and said, hey, there's essentially a firewall. Like, he does his job. I hire him to do his job. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the mayor's involved?
No, all indications are behind the scenes that the mayor is in constant contact with the superintendent and he's not really working independently. There is no agency in the city of Chicago that is not touched by the mayor. Everything we hear everywhere in the city is nothing moves.
Then why does he say
without
that?
The mayor.
I mean, why does he act like a bystander?
Because politically, it's better for the mayor to be able to have some distance for somebody, and so that if somebody screws up, but you say, it wasn't me. It was that guy over there. But, you know, there's this other thing that's going on, too, which is that Chicago is going to have this DOJ report that's going to come out sometime in the summer or fall of 2017. And when the report comes out, there's also at the same time the DOJ is going to say, OK, this is what we're going to do. And what happened in Newark, which had a similar
yeah,
report in 2014, and Baltimore, which just had a report come out earlier this month, is in both cases, the DOJ had an agreement in principle that was made with the city, which basically is, these are the things now that the city is going to be doing that's going to be different. And the DOJ, the force that they have behind it is, well, we're going to make this agreement with you, so we're not going to sue you. And we're not going to take you to court and make you make these changes. The DOJ has force, has the ability through federal law to
right,
be able to take local police departments to court
and they
make
don't want
them
that.
Make
changes. Nobody wants that.
Well, and so what has happened in Newark is that Newark was not able to make the changes, make the cultural changes enough. And a couple of months ago, there is now a consent decree, which the consent decree is rather than actually have a court case, you go and you negotiate something with the judge. And the consent decree is basically the DOJ is appointing a court-appointed, there's going to be a court-appointed monitor that's approved by the DOJ to oversee the Newark Police Department. The mayor of Newark and the Newark Common Council, which is their city council, no longer has the ability to control the police department. And that very same thing could potentially happen to the city of Chicago if they don't get their house in order.
But it sounds like they see that as a possibility, and the idea of moving to fire police officers is a step in the direction of getting your house in order.
I think certainly that is definitely on the mind of Eddie Johnson and Mayor Emanuel. Listen, losing control of the police department is not just simply, I can't run the police anymore. There are a lot of things that are tied into what you do with the police department. You know, you have the ability to ensure that you can call up, an alderman can call up a commander and say, hey, look, there are some people that are messing around over here and I want to get rid of them. They're not the right element in our neighborhood. We don't like those people. And there's a lot of class divides that are reinforced, not just racial, but class divides that are enforced by the police department. This is a reality that we have here in Chicago. And I don't think any police officer will deny that. So if the Chicago Police Department is no longer controlled by the alderman and the mayor, that means they lose the ability to be able to do that. And that
that could be a culture change. Yeah, that definitely is culture change. Mike Fouché, the dailyline.net. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We got to talk CPS CTU. I feel like
It's not a week unless we talk about it, right?
We're the play-by-play color commentary of this, because it was early on in this story that we said, you know, something's a little too quiet.
I am the Marv Albert.
You are the Marv Albert
of CPS CTU.
School negotiations.
That's exactly right. Take it downtown.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Mike Fouché in studio. He's here every week. Today, Thursday instead of Wednesday.
Yep.
So let's talk. We got two stories to get to. Democrats Day.
Yesterday
was Governor's Day. They're getting at Governor's it down in Day. Springfield, but yeah. It's just a lot of rhetoric. Yesterday, the Republicans went after the Democratic machine.
Right.
Today,
and today.
And today, it's Trump Rouner. Like over and over and over, Rouner Trump. You know who's like Trump Rouner? You know, Rouner reminds me of Trump.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's the move of the Democrats in Springfield.
So, you know, really, I mean, first off, for anybody who hasn't gone, which is 99.99999% of Illinois, so they have this section of the state fairgrounds set aside where there's like a rallying area where the Democrats all go, and it's not near anything. It's really weird. It's just in this other place, and there's a stage and chairs and a tent, and And so politicians go up, and they give speeches, and nobody's really paying attention and eating nachos and whatever. And that's Democrat Day. And then Governor's Day is, you know, because it's a Republican that's the governor, that's Governor's Day. And then the same happens, and everyone cheers. And it's all party loyalists. There's these buses that drive down from Chicago and all over the state that carry people. And
it's essentially like a day off for politicos.
Yeah, exactly. And they go hang out in the sun and talk. And, you know,
a lot of straw hats.
A lot of straw hats, and everyone shows off their cool new stickers and buttons and stuff. And So it's not cool, but they think it is. And so then after that, the next day, there's almost always the there's a convention, big speech. It's usually in one of the hotels that's in Springfield. And so there's a lot more people that are there. And there's the big speech from the governor, or the big speech from Madigan, big speech from whoever's running for governor or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And everyone applauds. And they put out their big punchlines, you know. So this year, the punchline for the Republicans is Madigan. He's the machine. He controls the state. Fight Mike Madigan. Vote for Republicans. And then for the Democrats, the big punchline this year is, hey, remember this guy Trump? And so, I mean, everything is Trump this, Trump that, Trump this, Trump
That's
that.
Annoying.
Well, it is annoying.
It's annoying because most of the Republicans in the state of Illinois have renounced Trump.
Yes, but there's a really interesting thing. And you know, Rich Miller from Capital Facts, he's been writing about this pretty consistently, which is that Mike Madigan's not on the ballot for most people. The vast majority of people in Illinois, they don't care about Mike Madigan. But Donald Trump is on the ballot. And Donald Trump is a big problem for Republicans. Because for the most part, if you're north of I-70, you're probably not too crazy about Trump. South of I-70, Trump's got a lot of support.
That's interesting.
A lot of Republicans are having a lot of trouble with Trump.
It's the flip side to the idea that Trump's not providing any support for the down ballot candidates, but he also is an open season for Democrats to say, oh, you're in line with this guy,
right,
and then just hammer it home.
Or another way of thinking about it is he's an open sore for the Republicans.
Yeah, right.
And they can't run away from him. You know, he keeps coming after them. And this continues to be a problem. And I think it's dragging down Mark Kirk. I mean, Mark Kirk is having a terrible time running for Senate, the current incumbent Republican senator. And I think it's going to be a problem for pretty much everybody on the ballot, all the way down to dog catcher.
We'll be all over that in the next couple months. Another story in Chicago that is heating up is the negotiations over the teachers' contract.
Can it get hotter? You keep saying heating up. Well, every week you're like heating up. We're now like super
heating.
We're getting.
I think we're getting close to boiling. We're what, 2 weeks out from the beginning of school?
Yep.
Two and change.
Two and change. Yeah.
This Saturday there's going to be strike preparation days. We see in the news. We see sources that say that it's going from a likely to very likely to highly likely when it possible when it comes to a strike. I mean, is this is the rhetoric we warned of, meaning when negotiations aren't going well for either side, the media becomes the mouthpiece.
So teachers don't want to give up any more cuts to their salaries or pensions, and CPS has to get cuts. They have to. They have a $300 million gap that they have to fill, and some significant portion has to come from teacher cuts or pay cuts.
Mm-hmm.
That's a rock and a hard place. So I think, you know, really what we're looking at is that first day of school is the 7th, 6th, mm-hmm. 6th of September. Teachers are going to likely have the first day of school, because the first day of school is important for a lot of reasons. It's how you count how many students there are in order to figure out how much money each school should get and federal aid and all kinds of other things. So they're not going to interrupt that. But as soon as that happens, teachers, they have to give a 10-day notification before they go on strike. So, you know, September 16th is, you know, really what it's looking like.
So there's a possibility that the kids go back to school and the parents here get back into routine for a very short amount of time until a strike interrupts the routine.
That's what happened 3 years ago.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened 3 years ago. And so, you know, we should be prepared sometime mid-September for there be a strike.
Now, we've been, I think that the typical Illinois and Chicago citizen is a little bit more versed in this than last time around. Last time around, it was a contract dispute. It didn't seem to be around the issues you just set up, the idea that we all know that CPS needs money. We've seen it. We've seen the cuts. We've seen Forrest Claypool come in. Is there any worry about favor or clout or just momentum when it comes to a teacher strike, that the teachers really don't want to test the mettle of the Chicago parents because they're more well-versed this time around?
Citywide, teachers are extremely popular, particularly in African-American and Latino communities. And those are the ones that Rahm Emanuel needs in order to be reelected, flat out. And the case that CTU is making, although not very well, is that the city has the ability to raise more money. And their message has been pretty mixed. They could do a better job of it. The city could increase taxes for more people. And so far, the taxes that have been raised, the property tax, the water tax, are regressive. They impact everybody equally as opposed to impacting wealthy people more. And, you know, some of the things that they have in mind, like a head tax, which is, you know, business has to pay money for each employee, things like that, a luxury tax, you know, those kind of things would potentially impact wealthier people more. They haven't been telling that story very well. Mm. I mean, most of what we've been hearing about is we're not giving up. You know, we're not going to give something up, as opposed to being able to say, this is something that the city needs to do for everybody.
And that's a big part of it, is telling the story. I mean, it's almost like in a weird way, an election of sorts, that you have to tell your story better than the other candidate.
Oh, that's politics, right? Storytelling, man. Yeah. You know, you got to be able to tell the right story.
Mike Fouché from the Daily Line, get him at dailyline.net. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, great to be here.
We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah.